Thank you. This is about time you got this lecture. This is the model session, 1961, revised. We have noted some difficulties that you were having in learning a model session. And therefore, we're going to standardize it slightly. It will be I throughout, and this throughout. You have some we's scattered in the 1960 version. And you have the process and this process. All right, well, instead of getting those variations, we're going to take off just exactly I throughout and this throughout, okay? That make it probably easier to handle. And then there's a couple of small lines that it's necessary to put in. They exist already, such as running the process up to present time before ending it. That's actually not additive. There is an additive, however, on the old session, on the basis of, is there anything you would care to say before I end this session would come in just before the last line of end of session. The script of the model session, originally issued HCO Bulletin, October 13, 1960, will be reissued with these changes. However, I'm going to go over it as though this has been issued already, and I will simply go over the model session rapidly. I'm just going to read it, and then I'm going to tell you what to do at these various points. To start the session, the auditor says, is it all right with you if I begin this session now? PC says yes or no, and if he says no, you have two-way comment. Auditor, all right, start of session. Now make sure you wrap that around his ears. That's tone 40. If the PC is doubtful as to whether the session has started, you know, he kind of looks doubtful, you would say, has the session started for you? You know, you don't do that all the time. You know, that's just, he looks, you know, kind of, you know. And you say, well, has the session started for you? And the PC says, no. Well, you say, all right, start of session. Really wrap it around his ears. Got it? And it'll generally start for him. Sometimes the PC is thinking about something else when you start the session, and he really doesn't get it. And it's quite important that he does. A session is a bracket in time. It is a finite period of time, and it starts and it ends. And you have to make sure that it starts, and you have to make sure that it ends. That's quite important. Because, of course, that would be a prerequisite to a person being in session, had a session started. Now, the rudiments. And believe me, rudiments make all the difference. They make so much difference that we have the director of processing in an HGC now totally on technical. Totally. And HGC administration takes care of all of the administrative details that the director of processing used to take care of. And all the director of processing is actually doing is checking, one, what is being run on the PC. Only he checks it on the PC. Brings the PC in, puts PC on me, says, what's being run on you? PCs are pretty foggy very often about what's being run on them, so if he's very vague about it and so forth, this is not terribly important. But we want to see if this thing was going along the way it was supposed to be going along. And then the director of processing proceeds to cover the rudiments. Not run anything to clear up the rudiments, but just to find out if these rudiments are being handled. That's all. This is not, then the PC goes away and the director of processing briefs the staff auditor on anything that's been noticed there, and they carry on. This doesn't take much of an interview. That isn't very long an interview, but it has to be done for every 5 hours of processing. And this makes all the difference in the world in the technical results in an HGC. It makes fabulous difference. It is the difference between an inch upward gain on a graph and a 2-inch upward gain on a graph. It's the difference between no gain at all and a good gain. You understand? Now that we've got technical wrapped up, and you'll have to perhaps get a subjective reality on that in this ACC and later on, staff auditors here have got it pretty well convinced that we have. We're awful close in there. They've been getting excellent results here in Johannesburg, very fine results, and be complimented on them. But it's working out a case depends entirely and completely upon the rudiments being well handled. If the rudiments go, the case doesn't gain. You understand? So first you have to make sure that you got a session started and running and ended. You've got to make sure that those rudiments are taken care of, particularly the beginning rudiments, which are the original rudiments. That's very important to establish those and establish them well. You can also goof it up by running nothing but rudiments for 75 hours. And that is alike a technical error. Rudiments are something that you get in and hit with, just as the name rudiment indicates. You get in there, you clean it up, you take the drop off of that meter, and you get a session on the road. That's the neatness of it. Therefore, the processes, which I will cover in a moment, for the rudiments, are very rudimentary processes. And they are not the processes you would use if you were auditing a case all the way with them. They're just hunt and punch, a lick and a promise, minimum ARC break type process. Okay? All right. Now, the goals are simply, the auditor says, what goals would you like to set for this session? And the PC says, whatever he says. And the auditor says, all right, this is an additive. You better scribble it in on your text there. Are there any goals you would like to set for life or livingness? In the 1960 script there, it's just any goals you would like to set for life or livingness, which isn't actually a complete sentence, and a PC can goof on it. And the PC says so-and-so, and the auditor says, good. Now, an auditor doesn't take up these goals. At this point, he doesn't take up anything at goals. He doesn't do anything about the goals. You got that clearly? At this point of the model session, he doesn't do anything. He simply says, that's fine. You can get a PC halfway around the bend by chopping him up on goals. You start invalidating his goals or pulling his goals around or pushing them around or something like this, and he's had it. But if he doesn't give you any goals, you've got to fish for some. But you want a goal that is real to the PC. But this doesn't say you must invalidate his goals and say, he says, well, I would like to become an OT in this session. You say, well, let's set a goal for the session that's real. Now, the way you do this trick is you keep asking him for more goals. Any other goals? Well, I want to become an OT and be able to mock up the Empire State Building and collect its rents. And you say, good, fine. Are there any other goals you'd like to set for this session? Now, it isn't an invalidation to ask for any other goals because it's quite customary to ask for some more goals. Got it? But you wouldn't necessarily ask for them or not ask for them. So it isn't here, under goals, you don't have a line, are there any other goals you would like to set for this session? But if you did ask something, that is the line you would use. And Then the auditor says, all right, are there any goals you would like to set for life or livingness? This, of course, gives him an effort to spread his tension just a little bit. Look at the overall picture here a little bit more. And you answer, good. All right. Now, the environment. Let's take up this environment. Is it all right to audit in this room? Well, I'll give you a very subjective reality. Very often, auditors will audit me in my office, and it is not all right to audit in my office because it's a place where I work. You got the idea? So you get this kind of a problem. There isn't any other place to audit. So I say, no, it's all right to audit in this room, but go ahead. You see? If there's no other place to audit, and this isn't the ideal place to audit because there's telephones and other things of this character in here. But go ahead. There's nothing else we can do about it. You got the idea? Now, that's a perfectly okay situation. No, it's not all right to audit in the room, but not really. But go ahead and audit in the room. You wouldn't do anything about that. You wouldn't do anything about that. Because it's quite logical. There's street noises going on with a high roar outside, you see, but you haven't any other place to audit. And you say, is it all right to audit in this room? And the PC says, wow, you know. No. Well, you pays your money and you takes your chance right about that point. Whether you handle this or not is a point of judgment on the auditor's part. Because you can get yourself into more cotton-picking trouble than you've gotten yourself into in a long time trying to orient the environment on a pre-clear for whom the whole physical universe is awry. You got that? But if you have to handle it, you are handling it without any real knowledge of what the PC's havingness process is or anything else. Don't you see? Now, it's going to require a havingness process at this point. I would be tempted, if I knew the pre-clear's havingness process, to run it. I would just be tempted to. But I can tell you a better solution, and that's old TR-10. Because that was the original that went with rudiment. So we might as well hold on to it. You got it? But it's another process, and if you already knew the pre-clear's process, why run some havingness? His havingness. But if you don't, your best chance is TR-10, which is notice that blank. Simple as that. That's the first and original, earliest havingness process, and it belongs fist in glove along with these rudiments. It was born at the same time as the rudiments, my friend. Notice the ceiling. Notice the floor. Notice that chair. You got the idea? When you have three chairs in the room, for instance, why, you'd better be awfully indicative on what. Or descriptive. Follow me? That's TR-10. And you wouldn't flub. But if you knew that the PC's having this process is where is, or something of that sort, if you already had this gen, you would be adding another process to run TR-10. Now, there's a warning on TR-10. If it turns on a somatic, you've had it. Here you go. The word is, on TR-10, the same as it has always been, if it turns on a somatic, you have to flatten it. Now, what do you mean by flatten it? Get the somatic off. Get the somatic off that it turned on. And if it turned on a slight pain in the head, run it till the pain in the head turned off. You got it? Now, old TR-10 is chosen at this point because it, on a very, very low-level case, and I do mean a low-level case, will run out a present-time problem, will run out an ARC break. It's doing it the hard way. It is slow and so forth, but it will do those things. You can get somebody who is just staggering in circles. He's not fit to be audited at all. And you know he has a present time problem, too. Oh, wow. You know, how do we get around this? Well, the best way to get around that is OTR-10. Notice that. Got it? You can't even fish on this case, you see. You can't fish on the case for having this process. You couldn't do any of these things, but you can still get away with that. People will do this one. They don't mind it too much. There is a more basic having this process than that, more fundamental. It was discovered about a year afterwards. I found it in auditing children. And it's a very fine having this process. It's where is. Oh, where is. That's a marvelous process. But don't use it in these rudiments as your first lick at it. Let's just stay with the rudiments. Let's have one thing stable in Scientology. And the rudiments have been stable now since 1954. Why change them, huh? All right. Is all right to audit in this room? There's another law involved here. Is what you can clear with two-way comm, you do not further process. If you can get something off the meter without running a process, you do so, and it is auditing. Have you got that? I'll give you an example. Is it all right to audit in this room, you say? The PC says, oh, no, no, it's a terrible place. It's dark and dingy and there's nothing else here and so forth and so on. And you say, well, what would he object to here particularly? What's the most objectionable thing? He says, well, I guess being audited at all. And you say, all right, good enough. And you go on to the next part of the rudiments. Got the idea? See, you can beat all this to death. You'll do a dynamic assessment sometime or another and find out, fascinatingly, that you have arrived at a higher state of case with the PC. You've done him an awful lot of good. And if you do a dynamic assessment on what we've been calling raw meat straight off the street, you know, never heard of anything, why, the fellow will probably be very impressed. You know, you don't use first dynamic, second dynamic. You use what they are, you know, self and sex and so forth. And you go up the line, and you're just doing an assessment. Hey, it's very often they say to you, golly, that's very good processing. Feel much better. You know? You've actually taken an awful lot of kicks off the meter. Now, the point in that is quite important to you. If you can take the kick off the meter just by asking the question or by asking him to clarify his answer or something of this sort, you don't audit it further. And when you're doing assessments, the fall on the meter, the first time you go across it, will often disappear on the second time you go across it, and there'll be no trace of the thing because you've stripped this particular fall off the lock. You see, you've stripped it off some sort of a chain or something. And you could get it back by further exploring the chain. But you'd have to explore the whole chain in order to get what that fall came from. You've actually pulled a lock off the top of a chain of incidents. You've gone flip. This is sometimes maddening, too. You're absolutely certain that a Land Rover is the very terminal that you should audit, which it wouldn't be at all anyhow. But it's gone. The next time you look at it and ask about it, it's gone. It just disappears. Of course, a Land Rover is a lock on a chain called automobile. An automobile is a lock on a chain called vehicle. Which, of course, basically on the sixth dynamic, is a lock on the chain called change of in space. But if you can knock it out by just mentioning it or getting the PC, clarify it or something like that, you don't go any further. And that, by the way, is true of clearing up people, true of clearing up a lot of things. You see, you can do it because you've already got him in a control session. If you have. All right. Next part is auditor clearance. The auditor says, is it all right if I audit you? And he says, Yes, yes. And the E-meter goes, bong, red lights flash, green circles occur, you know. Small rockets go out of the electrodes. Or it simply flicks. Right there, you're on the most dangerous possible part of a session. If the auditor is not cleared with the PC will make negative gain. And that's the only way you can get negative gain with Scientology. That's sure worth knowing. A graph stays unchained in the presence of a present time problem, but it drops in the presence of an ARC break with the auditor. ARC break with the auditor can lower a graph, worsen the PC's condition. That is all that can worsen the PC's condition, so don't kid yourself too much. Of course, there's another graph phenomenon you can blame if you're put in the corner with this too tight. If a PC is a thitty-weedy case, totally at the top of the graph, you know, what wall, what graph, you can expect this case to go circularly around and onto the bottom. Only now it's real. You could expect that to happen, but that only happens with a very unreal case. You get a case that's middle graphed, get an ARC break, a good heavy ARC break, get him to do another profile, and you will find that it has dropped. That's the only way you can worsen the case, is to ignore auditor clearance. Now, again, we take the original process to handle this. You might handle it just with flick-flick, you know. You say, well, I've got a drop on the meter here. Do you know what that might be about? Well, actually, yesterday you overran the session 45 minutes, and I had an appointment, and it was very upsetting to me. You say, all right, well, okay. Is it all right if I audit you and there's no drop? Ah, we don't do anything else about it. Got it? It blew. You know, you can waste an awful lot of time beating these rudiments to death because it isn't the rudiments that's going to improve the case. It's rudiments that make auditing possible. I mean, that's all they do. They just make the auditing possible. But if it didn't clear, just bing, you go on to TR5N. Why TR5N? Well, it was the original. That's a good reason, isn't it? Got to have something stable in Scientology. You can't have Ron changing his mind about everything all the time. TR5N. What have I done to you? What have you done to me? Why? Because at the rudiments level, OW is often taken as accusative by the PC and can be used invalidatively by the auditor. And in the presence of an ARC break, OW is dynamite. All right, you've just dropped the E-meter on his broken leg, you see. And so then you ask him, what have you done to me? What have you withheld from me? TR5N is much safer, since it gives him a chance to blow off. And in view of the fact that you're not trying to clear the case with TR5N, don't object to the fact that it's slow freight. It's slow freight. It's the local from Southwest Africa. Now, here's your clue on that. It's not invalidating to the PC, and that's why you use it. Now, you're just trying to clean up. Now, you're just trying to clean up the ARC break. So, there is an alternate command to this. If the relationship between the auditor and the PC is of long standing, you know, cellmates or married or something of this sort. And if there's any danger of this thing getting into a long, drawn-out pugilism, you say, in this session, TR5NA, what have you done to me in this session? What have I done to you in this session? So forth. Actually, the first command is, what have I done to you? What have you done to me? Okay? And that would be TR5NA would be, what have I done to you in this session? What have you done to me in this session? Now the fellow tells you embarrassedly that the ARC break was yesterday. Well, you're just wandering off the hills and far away and, my God, bum show. You carry on with the process. Got it? You'd clear the ARC break yesterday. He says, well, yesterday you did so-and-so. You say, yes, well, yeah, that's good. All right. Now, what have I done to you in this session? You get your auditing demand answered. There's a big, stable datum for an auditor. You know, I can take cases that have been around for a long time and do a very magical trick with them. I say, what is the first auditing command you ever received that you didn't answer? And the guy goes, whir, clank, and all of a sudden picks up case game. It's quite magical. You must always get your auditing question answered. Even if you have to put some two-way comm in the middle of it and so on, you get it answered. No matter what happens, that's one of the stable data of auditing. I'll give you another, the same example of this. You say, what have I done to you in this session? And the PC says to you, well, yesterday, you dropped your E-meter on my broken leg. And you say, well, I'm sorry. Now, what have I done to you in this session? Got it? He hasn't answered the question, has he? Always get the PC to answer the auditing question. That is the mark of a good auditor. We're going to breed auditors someday that with some terrier in them. We're going to get a special breed of auditor with terrier in them that they just keep going down in the burrow until they get the rat. Don't ever give up on one of these things. And don't be stupid about some kind of a blow type break. You just ask a question and it's too much and the PC quits and you finally run this ARC break TR5N and you get him back into session and so forth. You repeat the same last question. It was an unanswered question. In other words, you're very meticulous about this. Now, you can also use, I'll repeat the auditing question on and on and on, invalidatively, until the PC goes out through the roof, too. And after he's gone out through the roof, you would again run TR5N. You'd again clear the auditor. Got it? All right. Now, having taken care of all that, you would then ask the next question, which, are you withholding anything? And the needle doesn't fall, and you don't do a thing about it. All the rudiments are read on the needle of the E-meter. And if you don't get a fall, you don't do anything about it. But if you get a fall, your first effort is simply to ask the PC what it is. And the one that works best on all of this is, there it is, what did you just think of at that moment? Now, there it is again. Now, what are you thinking about when the needle falls here? All right, what is that that's making the needle fall? Oh, there it is again. All right, what was that? Oh, the fellow says, I unloaded a wagon load of Daga last night for a quick turn me over to the cops. I'm dead. I give up. That is highly workable. That is highly workable because he can't get away from the fact that it's registering. And he knows that you know there is something, and then he gets the idea after a while that you're just going to stick on this until he gives up, and you're not going to get any place, and out of sheer desperation to get the session going or something of the sort, he'll eventually spill it. A classic example of this was running, actually with holes on a PC, with another process, and the PC would get a fall, and then a little fall, and then come up with the fact that she had borrowed a cup of sugar one time from a neighbor and hadn't returned it. And then there'd be a question like, what question shouldn't I ask you, something like that, and you get a fall, and then you get a little fall, and then she'd say, well, I put a hat pin in a chair one time before my husband sat down in it. That was a big overt, and I've been withholding that. You know, you're just plain foolish if you don't say, now look, look, I'm getting a steep fall here. Now, what do you think of every time you get these steep falls? What are you thinking of there? That's the one. That's the one. What do you think of just then? That was marvelous. That's a case right here in the HGC. And this dear little old lady came up with the wildest string of overts you ever heard of, you know, to withhold them. But up to that time, it was she borrowed a cup of sugar. Now, I think it could have gone on for 75 hours. But the auditor got very clever and said, well, there it is. All right, now what was that? Yeah, we know about the cup of sugar. What was this deep fall, you know? That one. That's the one. Got it? Are you withholding anything? Well, now, frankly, are you withholding anything can be handled with pre-session 37, or it can be handled, really, with formula 19. You can put either of those two in that point. But, of course, first and foremost above these is just, what is it? You know, you mustn't overlook the basic elements of what we're doing. You find most commonly the PC, if with a little embarrassment and so forth, just gives it up. That's all. He just hands you the whip hope. Now you say, are you withholding anything? And the PC says, no. You say, well, what was the fault? Well, it's just the embarrassment of being asked. Well, are you withholding anything? There's a fall. You say, well, there's a fall in this thing. I'm not really withholding anything. And you say, well, all right. Then what's it falling on? All right, I'll tell you. But that actually is even less frequent than just, well, what is it? Are you withholding anything? The fellow says, mm-hmm. You say, well, what is it? He says so. Awfully direct. You don't have to dodge around about these things. The better control you have of a session, why, the more response you get. Okay? All right. Now, the present time problem. Now, we've got to take up present time problems even longer. But I will give you the fundamentals of a present time problem. And they are these. There are present time problems of long duration and present time problems of short duration. This question, do you have any present time problem, is the script on it, refers to a short duration problem, and the PC will recognize it as a problem if it is a short duration problem. Yes, I have left my car down on the street and I haven't put a nickel in the parking meter. You know, that sort of a reaction. Yes, I have a present time problem. I have to phone my wife at 3:00. You know, one of the easy ways to handle this is, well, go down and put the nickel in the parking meter. That's awfully easy way to handle it, see? Or go phone your wife. It's terribly, terribly elementary, you know. Or he has to go to the bathroom. You tell him, well, go to the bathroom. You don't run a process on it. Now, yeah, you can do that. And whether you stop the session or not at that point is kind of up to you, since it depends on... the girl says, well, my girdle's too tight. You know, well, do you stop the session? No. No. You say, well, I'll look the other way, and you loosen it up. But he has to go down to the street, and it's a great liability having a PC in session while he is walking around in the street. So you simply tell him, all right, if it's all right with you, I'll end this session. You know, he tells you so-and-so, and he's got to go down for the parking. All right with you, I'll end this session. He says, okay. You say, end of session. He charges up, and then you begin the session the same way. All right, if I begin this session now? Yes. All right, start of session. Only remember where you were. Don't go retracking this thing all over the place and wasting time. But let's start right where you were, and you say, do you have any present time problem? And the PC says, no, no. Well, actually, up here in Goals, he said that he had heart palpitations, and he was all the time worrying because he's afraid he's going to fall down dead in the street. That is a present time problem, not a goal. But most goals are present-time problems. But the difference is they have long duration. It's not that they apply to the case. I'm rephrasing this and re-expressing this so that you can get it better. See, it isn't a case difficulty. That's the way we used to explain it, because students haven't gotten this too well. It's whether or not it's lasted for a long time or it's going to last for a long time. Well, how long is a long time? Well, it's a long time. Now, there's the essence of the situation. This fellow says, I have constant and continual pains in my throat as a present-time problem. You say, how long has this been going on? And he says, oh, it's been going on for about 20 years. And you say, well, all right. Thank you. He answered that as a present-time problem, don't you think? He recognized it as a present-time problem. They usually don't. They spot it in as a goal. I would like to get rid of this sore throat. Well, that's good. Fine. How long have you had the throat? Get the idea. Find a little bit more about it. Oh, about 20 years. All right. Thank you. Any other goal you'd like to set for this session? But when he's given you that, beware, because he has now established what you are going to run. And if this present-time problem he comes up with is a goal of long duration, he has now established what you're going to run. And you're not about to run the responsibility process, which is standard for a present-time problem. You're going to finish off the rudiments, and you're going to start a process, if you possibly can get away with it, known as pre-session 38, directly and immediately on that present-time problem. So a long-duration present-time problem you do not use responsibility on. You use responsibility only on short-duration present-time problems. He's been fighting with his wife all morning. All right, that's a short-duration present-time problem. But it could be a long-duration present-time problem, too, couldn't it? You say, well, you usually fight with your wife? No, it's one of the first fights I've had with her for an age. Short duration. Yeah, well, we fight every morning. Long duration.
First fight I've had with her for a long time. Quite puzzled as to what went on and so forth.
All right, that's a short-duration present-time problem, isn't it? And then, for a short-duration present-time problem, the process which you use is... What part of that problem have you been responsible for? Slight change of wording. Could you be responsible for is slightly creative. And if you want to really play this on the safe side of the cow pasture, then you had better run, have you been responsible for? Remember, this isn't much of a process. Remember, this won't run a case. Remember also that you could run a whole case on problems. Remember that we could get the most complicated routines and activities associated with problems that you ever heard of. Because a problem is mystery. And you are running straight into the whole mystery band with running problems. You can do all sorts of wild things with problems. You can run a whole case from one end to the other. Describe that problem, you know. What is the problem now, you know? Describe that problem. All right, now what's the problem? We'll describe that problem, you know. Thank you. Well, all right. You can just go on asking for problems because you find this problem shifts. Now, look, supposing this person said to you, you say, do you have a present-time problem? And the fellow says, my wife. And you say, well, how long has that been a problem to you? All right. He says, well, it's been a problem to me for the last few days. It's certainly true. Okay. Now, you can also force the person to articulate it as a problem. Don't bother to do it. Don't bother with that. That's nonsense. The problem is in such a state that it's in apathy, so he gives you a terminal, he doesn't give you the problem. Got it? But don't bother to move it. Just say, all right, what part of that problem have you been responsible for? Short duration thing. He just named a terminal. He didn't say a problem, did he? Well, why? You see, you can get into all kinds of complications here on problems. So what I'm telling you is, find out if it's a long or short duration, and if it's a short duration problem, whatever he said, just run what part of that problem he's been responsible for. That's all. You'll find out that it'll clean up off the meter, maybe not out of his life, but off the meter. It'll clean up very rapidly. Now, if it's a long duration problem, you had better handle it with precession 38, which we will take up in due course. Now, this may be an awful lot of data to you about problems, but I'm giving you most of this data to keep you out of trouble about problems. A long-term goal, which is really a problem. He wants to get rid of his sciatica. How long's he had his sciatica? Well, he's had his sciatica, one cotton pick, an awful long time. You just note that on that auditor's report. Because that establishes what happens here after you start a process. Unless you do something about his sciatica, he isn't going to make any advance at all. Because constant, continuous, that's what he's sitting there for. Get rid of his sciatica. And you're not going to run that with what part of that problem have you been responsible for. Let me assure you. That's only good for a short-duration problem, and you usually get your short-duration problems under present-time problem section of the model section. To give you the others' goals, okay? Now, this seems to you to be possibly an awful lot of gin, but you'll keep out of trouble by simply asking if it's a long one or a short one. And if it's a short one, you run what part of the problem you've been responsible for. If it's a long one, you run pre-session 38 as a session. Way down here. All right, so much for that. Now, those are the rudiments. There are end rudiments, too, which come up in due course, and they are handled much the same way. They're handled exactly the same way. Same processes for your end rudiments, for your beginning rudiments. Your script for starting a process is, auditor, Now I would like to run this process on you. And you name it. What would you say to that? And the PC says, all right. No, the first time he ever runs it, he'd better clear the command. But after that, he doesn't clear the command every time, because you've got a lot of fast 10 minutes of this and 10 minutes of that in the formulas. You understand? And if you clear the command every time, you're only going to get your 10 minutes in every 20 minutes. So, clears the command with the PC. To that is added the first time the process is ever run on the PC. You sometimes miss by not doing it the first time because you're running a help process on the PC, and the PC defines help this way. How to defend yourself. What? You're not going to run that process on the PC, that's all, because it isn't semantically oriented at all. You're going to have to do something else here. Well, the least you do is clean up what it is. Something on the earth, the best process to clean up some mis-semantic like that is define blank. Thank you. Define blank. Thank you. Define blank. Thank you. And all of a sudden, this little curly Q that's all twisted around their medulla oblongata straightens out, and they say, oh, help, that means to assist somebody. Oh, yeah, I knew what it was all the time. Hell, they did. All right. The next is, here is the first command. Gives the command, and the auditor acknowledges. And the note on that is, if after discussion it seems the PC will not be able to handle the announce process, the auditor says, according to what we have been talking about, then it would seem better if I ran and names another process. Okay? And if it was mis-semantics that got you off of it, it is at your option and choice and at your peril that you run define blank. Got it? PC is really plowed in, man. You're not going to run define blank because this PC can't define PC. Now, you end the process. Ending a process, auditor. If it is all right with you, I will ask this question 2 more times and then end this process. Slight change of wording there. It's this, this, and a then added in. And the PC says, all right. And the auditor says, after the last command, is there anything you would care to say before I end this process? PC says it, and then you say, of course, end of process. That's not tone 40 particularly. Now, supposing you're running these processes, which get the PC badly out of PT, like straight wire, and even some of these failed help processes and so forth. As a matter of fact, there are more processes that wind him up out of PT than otherwise. You know, that cycle on the track and go back into the background. So, the proper wording for that is, if it is all right with you, I will continue this process until you are in present time and then end it. And then he adds, when, to each question. When was that thing? You have to say, when was that? After you've said this, you then say, when was that? When was that? When was that? Otherwise, you miss being in PT. And when he's in PT, you say, that was the last command. Is there anything you would care to say before I end this process? Okay? Repeated commands. The auditor gives the command. The PC says, I don't know, I can't find any answer. And the auditor says, all right, I will repeat the auditing command, and repeats the command. Now, the rule is that anything a PC says that doesn't answer the question, you say, all right, or okay. Acknowledge it, you see. The acknowledgement is important there. I'll repeat the auditing command. And you can use that invalidatively. The PC is trying to tell you that the roof is about to fall in, and you keep saying, I'll repeat the auditing command. This is an unreal situation. Got the idea? You do acknowledge and take cognizance of what the PC says. But what he has said makes him feel he has answered the auditing command. And he's liable to just sit there, you know, say, well, I've answered the auditing command. And you say, well, all right, I'll repeat the auditing command. He all of a sudden says, well, I haven't answered the auditing command, have I? You know, and answers it. Any utterance on the part of the PC, this can go reductio ad absurdum, by the way, you can get it down to a point where any gesture or motion the PC makes is actually an answer to the auditing command. It really is, technically, but you don't pay any attention to it. When the PC says something that isn't an answer to the auditing command, you understand it, acknowledge it, and say, all right, I'll repeat the auditing command. Cognition, just covered it, give the command, and the auditor then says very good and repeats the command without announcing it is a repeat. It's obvious to the PC by this time because he's cleared up. Cognition, you know, sort of brings him up to out of it. You know, he comes out of it a little bit. Hey, what do you know, you know, he says. And so you give him the auditing command again without saying so. If you say, I'll repeat the auditing command, he believes that you have invalidated his cognition. And that has happened more than once. Now, the end rudiments go, present time problem, that's the first thing you ask him. Do you have a present time problem now? All right, the person has a present time problem. Is it long duration, short duration? If it's long duration, you're not going to do a thing about it. And if it's a short duration problem, you can run the same process as I told you before. What part of that problem have you been responsible for? The auditor, and ARC breaks, the auditor says, how do you feel about my auditing in this session? And the needle twitches, and the auditor says, I'm going to run some, you can actually call the process if you want to, TR5N on you. So here's the first command. And you'd say, what have I done to you? What have you done to me? You know, same process. In the auditing room, the auditor, look around here and see if you can have anything. The needle twitches, and I'm going to run a bit of havingness on this. Here's the first command. That, if you've been running TR10, you would say, instead of that, how do you feel about the auditing room now? When he says, bleh, and the needle twitches, run the same process you ran before. If you've got his havingness process, you run it, okay? Now, the goals, do you feel you have made any part of your goals for this session? And the PC says, no, not a cotton picking one. You say, well, thank you very much. And you go on to the end of the session. Got it? The auditor says, is it all right with you if I end this session now? And the PC says, yes. And the auditor says, all right, here it is. End of session. Tone 40. Now, the session might not have ended for the PC. So there's a bit of a lag there with here it is. You look him, you know, you look at him. Here it is. End of session. Now you could say, all right, tell me I am no longer auditing you. That's just a kind of a gimmick, but it tells him the session has ended both ways too. Tells him he can get sassy now without getting his head knocked off. Now, there is the model session revised, January 25, 1961. It uses I all the way through, no we's, and he uses this process all the way through, no these. That's the primary shift that you should pay some attention to. And then the end rudiment change there on havingness. Now, I took this opportunity to shift the model session slightly. This ACC, simply because it's needed a little bit of revision here for some little time, we might as well kick it off with this one. There's very little change has taken place with this model session. There's very little change needful in this model session. It's pretty good. The value of a model session is that every auditing session is like every other auditing session, and they run themselves out. the auditing session becomes duplicative. The pattern is quite important. It is quite important to have standard pattern. It is a great relief to somebody to be audited with standard pattern. He's accustomed to being audited, and he's audited with standard pattern. It gives him confidence in the auditor immediately and at once. The other matter is that an auditor, in using this pattern, actually very easily supplants the last auditor, and it makes this auditor's code break softer. Too many auditors. It eases that up. A person is more confident about it. You would be utterly amazed at the tremendously wild variables there have been in rendering sessions. They're tremendously wide. And Auditor 1 audits the PC, and then Auditor 2 comes along and audits the PC with an entirely different script, and actually these sessions tend to stack up. And it's really true that by using a model session, that each new session tends to discharge and run out the old sessions. And it's it's very much of a gain. It's not just an idea we have. You can get a better gain on PCs running this way. He can predict the session, and he feels happier about what's happening. And he feels it's more standard, and he gets his pattern reactions more tuned up to exactly what they're going to do. And he doesn't fall into the terrible mystery of what's going to happen next. And therefore, he can give his attention to the process. What's going to happen next in the process, that's important, you know, rather than what's this auditor going to do next. So a good auditor knows his model session very cool. I apologize to all those auditors who have for a long time now been using the old form of model session for having shifted a few syllables in it, but it is actually their experience and their comments which have made these shifts that we have now, and they're minimal. Thank you very much.